an assignment for every one of us that came last week. So, Yinka. Where can it be found? Where can it be found? Praise the Lord. I just pray that God will help us to continue like this. We'll not just hear and forget it, but God will help us to keep them at heart in Jesus' name. So today is the continuation of last week. We're still on fruitfulness. And today we'll be talking on the significance of fruitfulness. Why is fruitfulness is significant in our life as a Christian? So we have just 4 points to deal with today. The first one is, first reason why fruitfulness is significant is as a mark of our authenticity in Christ. As a mark of our authenticity in Christ. Can we just open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 7, please? Everybody is going to contribute. I want us to open and we're going to read. If you are there first, please, can you just read? Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 17. Matthew 7, 16 to 17. Okay, I'll read. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Praise the Lord. So one of the ways we can know that individually, as a Christian, one of the ways we can know we're fruitful is the fruit we're bearing, the kind of fruit that is coming out of us. This is something that cannot be hidden and you cannot pretend about it. Whatsoever the fruit in you is what you're going to show out. So by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes? That's where we read. From thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. That's just straightforward. Jesus himself says that you will recognize them by their fruit. We who are in Christ must bear the fruit of Christ and his likeness. So one of the ways you can know whether you as a person, no, in Christ Jesus, you are fruitful is by your heart to know the fruit you are still showing forth. The fruit in you. What are the fruit? If you as a Christian, you still like lie, you can say that fruit, you cannot find it in Christ. Where can it be found? The Bible says it's from the devil. So you can still know, you can trace where you are from the fruit you are showing forth. Anger is not the fruit in Christ Jesus. All these normalities, whingy, all this backbiting, every attitude that's not to glorify God, that cannot be traced in Christ. Those fruits that you cannot trace them in the life of Christ. If it's still in us, that means we still need to deal with them. That's a sign of unfruitfulness in us. So, and here it says, there is a phrase which says, no fruit, no root. As you know, like where we, our memory verse, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. That is, in our abiding in God, God is the root. God is the root and we are the fruit. So if we have no root in Christ, there's no good things that can come out of it. You can't even see any good fruits. So a rootless, if you say that, if it's like a tree, if it has no roots, there's no how it can bring forth any fruit. So if we have no root in Christ, there's no how we can have any fruit in Christ. Those fruits in Christ, we must first of all have a root in Christ Jesus. So if we have no root in Christ, that's why you still see some of the believers were still struggling. Why? Because we have no solid roots in Christ Jesus. That is, we need to trace back our roots. Where is it from? if we still live in this old nature, this sinful nature, that means our root is not yet in Christ Jesus. So we have to trace back where our root from. No fruit, no root. So no root, there's no fruit. That's just the way it is. But when we are rooted in Christ, there will be fruit. When we receive the salvation of God, we are a new creation according to the Bible. Salvation is not a reformation, it is a transformation. I want us to open our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2. I just wanted to like dwell a bit on this point. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Please, I want someone to read. Romans 12, 2. If you are there, please, can you read? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, ye transformed. That's exactly what God wants us when we come to Christ. But the problem is that most of the Christians, when we come to, like, changing the shape of something, but the original is still the same, it's still there. But what God is calling us into is transformation, changing completely to the, you know, to the image of Christ, you know, likeness of Christ. That's what we're called into. But the problem is that we are still like most of the Christians. You know, when we come to Christ, what we do is that we're transformed. And we're like reformed. But we still have our nature. The sinful nature is still dwelling in us. So that's why we still like we struggle and struggle and struggle. But what God calls us into is transformed. Transformation of our life. So we still, these are the questions I want us to individually ask ourselves. Firstly, like where we, the one we've said is no fruit, no root. Do you have root in Christ? That's one question. Trace it back. If you still operate in your sinful nature, if your sinful nature is still the one controlling your life, then we still have to trace back, where is my root from? If you can't control your anger, you see that when you get angry, you can do anything, you can destroy. That is out of control. When things around you is still the one controlling you, that means you have to trace back. Do you have a root in Christ? And another one is that, are you not transformed or reformed? That's another question you should ask yourself. So I'll just, when I was like read a place, it tried to just explain the difference between reformed and transformation. I'll just read it out for us. Transformation simply means to make something new. Not just recycle it, not just to amend it, but make a new. Make it new. That's transformation. That is what God calls us to. When we come into God with our sin, with our sinful nature, God calls us for transformation. Complete new person in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says something that when we come to Christ, we're a new creature. New. That's what the Lord wants us to. So if you are still operating in your sinful nature, still mindful of that, that means you are not yet transformed. The salvation of God is not just for reformation. It's for transformation. Completely transformation. And it says that not even to improve it, not to improve your nature, but you are to ultimately remove the temptation of disobedience to God. That's what transformation is. Completely new in God. And again, reformation tends to keep past mistakes, self-pity, emotional remorse, or guilt alive to remind oneself of past failures, and commonly used as avoidance for dealing with the old man. So that's the problem. The old man, the difference there is that reformation, you still have your old man, you still have the old man operate in you. Even you come to God, you serve God, but the old man is still ordinate operating. But the transformation is the new person. Is the new person in you. That is Christ's likeness. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, as stated in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, the type of fruit we bear reflect what tree stalk we are branches of. Whether we bear good fruit or not, we demonstrate genuineness of our faith in Christ. So, the kind of fruit we bear determines what we have, where we are from, the source of where we are. That's the mark of our fruitfulness. If the same you, no, when you came to Christ, no, individually we have a human nature. We have a sinful nature before we come to Christ. If you check your life, and you see, before you came to Christ, the same person you are, and it's still the same person you are now, that means there's no sign of fruitfulness in your life. Because God has called us to newness. So when the life you formerly live, when you come to Christ, what God called into is a new life in Christ Jesus. A new life in Christ Jesus. So bear it in mind. The one way you can show that you are fruitful is that if that old nature is no more operating in you, it's no more the one in control or in charge of a life. That's the time you can say, yes, I'm fruitful. But if that old nature is still the one in charge, is still the one controlling our life, that means we're not yet fruitful. We're not yet mature to where God wants us to be. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So the second one is the measure of our obedience. So one of the significance of fruitfulness is measure of our obedience to God. It says, I am the vine, you have the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is, if you remain in me, that's what Christ is trying to say there. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. So before you can be more fruitful, is that remaining in Christ Jesus. Not rising and fall, not stagnant, but remaining perfectly in Christ Jesus. Growing in Christ Jesus. Not living in the old nature and halfway in Christ Jesus. No. God wants us to remain in him, and he remains in us. We permit him to be the charge, to be in charge, in control. And the Bible says we'll bear much fruit if only those two conditions is fulfilled. Sometimes we may be praying, God, let me be fruitful in you. Let me be fruitful in you. Even sometimes it doesn't even need that prayer. What you need is that remain in him and allow him to remain in you. You'll be fruitful. That's just it. But if we put that truth aside and we're just after God, let me be fruitful. No. It's the obedience that God calls us into. If I remain in you, that is, if you remain in Christ Jesus and you allow him to be in charge of your life, not you dictating for God. When God says, this is the way, this is what you should do. When he speaks to you, he says, you will hear a voice behind you that will say, this is the way, walk therein. When he speaks, this is the direction. What are you doing then? Do you decide to know, just mold things together to please your own? That means he's not in charge. The only way he can be in charge is when he speaks, this is what you should do. Even when it's not convenient and you do it, that is when you know you are fruitful. And I pray we'll bear much fruit in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I'll just continue the note. The more we abide in Christ and dwell in his sufficiency, the more fruitful we will become. How much we abide in him will determine the measure of our fruitfulness. How much we abide in him. You know, there's a lot of distraction, and we always use it as an excuse. But the truth is that we cannot trick God. We just have to do it the way God wants. If we fail to do it, we will not get the blessing that back it up. That's just it. No matter how much we can pray, all God wants is that do it and then the blessing will follow. But failure to do it, no matter how we know how to claim the blessing, it will never come. So it's the obedient force that God, like the way we used to say that, you obey before you make your complaint. What God wants first is your obedience. That's the first thing that God expects from us. Even you can go to the mountain and go anywhere. If you know how to pray. But the truth is that the obedient must come first. And that's what God is calling us into. Are obedient. It says the more and how much we abide in him will determine the measure of our fruitfulness. That's just the truth. As a Christian, don't be carried away. Remember, we need to abide in him. We need to remain in him before we can be fruitful. If we are carried away with our own affairs, with the world affairs, and we forget the place of God, we would never be fruitful in him. To us, we can just judge it ourselves, I'm fruitful. But if it is not in the fruitfulness of God, you are not fruitful. And when I was reading this place, I was just imagining someone to use as an example of real fruitfulness of God. The perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his life and measure what makes his life fruitful. Jesus Christ is the life of a prophecy. His life that is a list of how he's going to live his life and what he's going to do. He did everything and it was fulfilled. And the Bible says, it is finished because he completed it. And likewise to us, the same thing. As an individual, as a child of God, the Bible says we have a predestined life. God has planned our life. Unless we are fulfilled in the plans of God, we can achieve everything. We can have everything. God can give us all the blessings. But if we fail to fulfill in the conditions of God, we are not yet fulfilled in him. If he says do this, I will fail to do it. No matter what follow, we can't cover that one up. You are not yet fulfilled in him. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So how much more we abide in him. So it's not just one day. It's continue forever. Abide in him. That one will determine the measure of our fruitfulness in Christ. So the process of abiding in Christ is to obey him. So there's we have three reasons here. Reasons people obey Christ. Reason why we need to obey Christ. Okay, some people, one of the reasons why they obey Christ is that some obey because they have to. This is obedience to fear. I just have to. I'm just doing it because I just have to. But you know you are not doing it right. I don't know if the category will fall into this one. You just do it because you just have to. And the second one is some obey because they need to, for they want their prayers answered. This is the obedience of selfishness. That is, it's because of what we need. I'll just give us an example. I was talking to a lady at my work. She's 97 years old. Actually, we're doing something. I think maybe during the crossover night, she asked me, how did I spend my Christmas Eve and the New Year, everything. So I told her. She now said, that means, are you a Christian? I said, I'm a Christian. So I now asked her, are you a Christian too? She said, I used to be a Christian. And I said, why are you no more a Christian? She said, because I don't need it. I said, why do you think you don't need it? She said, I'm old. I said, that's not an excuse. And I sat down and I think over that. That is, if you have no roots in Christ, you continue having excuse until you are old and you will say, I don't need it. You only use Christ when you need him. You come to him only when you need him. You serve him because you desperately want something. By the time you get that thing, you leave him. Is that the kind of Christianity we're into? So this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Why am I in Christ Jesus? Is it because you are in need? Or is it because you know that is what you are called into? I think yesterday at the Good Women's meeting, one of the things our mother and the Lord said was that if you keep on having an excuse, if you say now this is your excuse, she said you will forever have excuse. Honestly, with what this woman told me, if you said when you are still I have to do this thing now, by the time you move to another stage, you still have something to do. By the time you get old, you now say, you just be like this woman, I don't even need it, I don't have the strength. So please, we need to search our life once again. For us to be fruitful in Christ Jesus, we have to remain in him and do what he has called us to do. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And the last reason is that, reason why people obey Christ. Some obey because they want to. This is the obedience of love. Because you know it is your duty. It is what you are called into. Not because you are forced to do it. Not because you are innate. But you know that is your assignment. That is the real reason. The Bible says something. God created us for his own pleasure. But we think God is there for our own pleasure. That's the way we just put it. God is there only when we are in need. When we need God. But didn't we ever think of it that he that molded us, he has a plan first. Before we have our own thinking over him. So we should always think of that. Our fruitfulness in Christ is not only in what we can get from God. It is in what we can do. Our obedience in him. So I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So the third point, I'll just make sure I keep to time, is the motivation behind God's pruning. When I was just thinking of this, the main things that came to my mind is that my motivation behind God's pruning, when God bringing out the best in you, bringing out the best in you. So he cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be. You know, sometimes when we're undergrowth, you know, this period, the period of prunings in God, we think it's maybe time of punishment or time of. It is the time that God is bringing out the best thing he has deposited in us. Because individually, God deposits something great in us. It's just that we find it hard to identify it. There is a place. I remember my dad used to say something. Actually, he used to say it like in Yoruba, like if I have people around that he said, Oloma Jeki Koyagba, that is, God has placed in a place and you are there to fill that place. So if you fail not to, then you are dividing how will I say it? Like a garden, something you make, you are divine. You are making a space for devil to come in. So God has placed you individual as a Christian in a position. There is a position we need to fill. So when God is pruning us, he's trying to bring out the best thing he has deposited in our life. The best thing. That's the time we need to sit down and thank God. What do you want me to do? There's something that God is trying to bring out of us. That is the best thing he has deposited in us. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Like the gardener or vine dresser who prunes his vineyard, God will prune us. The pruning process for us as a Christian may come in various forms of testing. That's when it comes to the testing of our faith. God is not punishing us. God is trying to open our eyes to something. But if we are wise enough, we'll sit down and we'll look. It prunes with the purpose that we might bear fruit. That's just the mind of God. We might bear fruit. Or that we might bear more fruit. And even more, much more fruit. That is, when you're in Christ Jesus, when God prunes you today, it's trying to bring out something in you. It's trying for you to bear fruit. Either you're not bearing enough fruit. Maybe you are still bearing, but you are not bearing to God's satisfaction. God will still prune us so that we'll bear to his own satisfaction. And also it says that the pruning process may be the conviction to remove a bad habit, an undesirable attitude, or a wrong goals we have adopted. But you know, there's something I just noticed. That when God is pruning us, instead of us to sin and look, when God is pruning us, God is trying to remove something in us. It may even be your sinful nature, or your human nature, be it pride. But instead of us to allow God to have his way, deal with us and remove that thing, we always have excuses, reasons, and we think we're more wiser than God. So this is the time God is calling us to fruitfulness. So when God is dealing with you, let us humble ourselves. If it's that attitude that God wants to take out of our life that will not make our life fruitful in him, let us allow him. There's no point for us to come to this world, achieve everything, and at the end, there's nothing to account for God in our life. It's a waste. Because the day will drop, the day we can't breathe anymore. Every other thing will achieve hand here, because you can't take them, you can't use them. Everything end. But the only thing that never end is that thing, your fruit in Christ Jesus. Because that's the main reason why he created us. So we should always think in our hearts, is my life fruitful? Am I still the same person when I came to God? And as a Christian, we need to sit down every day. I read something, I think, on Saturday. Actually, it was meant for teenage. I was just reading it. But the main thing that I'm trying to pass is that God called every Christian for a relationship. God bless you because of a relationship. And then when I say relationship, I just imagine what kind of relationship. The main relationship is with God. And there, it doesn't stop there, that also your relationship with everyone around you is to bring glory to God. You have to know to have relationship with everyone. It says that God created church for a relationship. God bring us together for us to unite together and to be able to pull each other together to be able to stand strong for God, not to come and wage war against ourselves. And before this can be achieved, we have to. There's something, there's some situations, there's something that it says, keep me and I'll kill you. Keep me and I'll kill you. That's the way sinful nature is. If we don't deal with it, they will deal with us back. But sometimes we think we're in charge of them, but they're in charge. If you can't control your anger, if you can't control your lying, if you can't control your pride, they're in charge. They're controlling you. You think you're on top, but you're not. So we have to search our life. God called us to be in charge of them. Not them, not the devil in charge of our life. Because we have Christ in us, we're supposed to be in charge. So those are the areas we need to search in our life. If our sinful nature is still controlling us, we're not yet fruitful in Him. We still need to deal with them so that we'll be fulfilled in God's plan. It says, it may come through the loss of some material comfort, a broken relationship, or some other test. Testing can be painful and traumatic, but it helps us learn and remember that God brings or allow testing for the purpose of making us more like Christ. So we should always bear that one in mind. So when we're passing through something, we should bear that one in mind, that God is trying to, don't just be carried away with excuses and complain. Sit down. God, what do you want me to learn from this? Things does not just happen to a child of God without a reason. To us, we always think of one side, of the negative side, but we never think of the good things God is trying to do. So I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'll just quickly go through the last point. It says, one of the significance of fruitfulness is the means of glorifying God. The means of glorifying God. This is to, according to the book of John chapter 15 verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. So it is to God glory when we are fruitful. It is to God glory. So we can just bear that one in mind, that when our life is not fruitful in Christ, we're not glorifying God. So when your life is fruitful, your life glorify God, not only by mouth, but God is happy. It's the joy of God when God sees the real expectations of God. If God sees coming to pass, if God says, I want holiness, and God sees a perfect holiness in us, when God says, in this church, I want my children to be united together as one, if it happens, you can see how much it's going to touch the heart of God. So we have to all work together and deal with the whole nature in us and allow God to be glorified. When we manifest Christ's likeness and demonstrate this in discipleship, we bring glory to God. When we show fruitfulness in our life, we glorify God. God expects fruitfulness, and this is accomplished through abiding and pruning. God desires that you bear fruit. Jesus summarized it by stating in the book of John chapter 15 verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. So bear that one in mind. We don't choose God. He first chooses us. And he has appointed individual, no excuses. Just carry your cross. Forget about excuses of other person. Carry your own. Bear fruit. That is the assignment that God is laying in our hand individually as a Christian. So as a church, I want us to bear that one in mind. We are here to pull each other together to bear fruit in Christ Jesus. Show love, not to show hatred. It's enough of settling issues, enough of fighting, enough of war. This is the time we have to bear fruit. We have to carry the cross. We have to deal with that old nature that gives us reasons to give excuses to God. Old nature that's still there, that's still in charge. This is the time. If you think when I pass through stage, when I achieve everything, you will not have any strength to do it. You won't even think you don't have reasons to do it. So please, I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Do you have any question? Please, if you have any question, any contribution, any addition, anything that God is saying in your mind that you can share? I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. If we don't have any question, can we just rise up on our feet? We've heard the word of God now. Enough of hearing and drop it. Remember, when today passed, we can't come back and try it again. Yesterday, we can't go back and correct it again. So today, this is a message for individual of us. It's the joy of God for us to bear fruit. If we still live in our old nature, we're not bearing fruit. And remember, a life that's not bearing fruit, it has no root in Christ, and it's leading to destruction. But a life that is fruitful is leading to what? A crown in heaven. And God will be happy. So I want us to always bear this in mind. Think, and when you're alone, think over your life. Are you fruitful? Is your life still the same? Are you still the same person when you came to Christ? Let's close our eyes, and I want us to open our heart to God. This is we and God. It's not collectively, but it's individual. Search your life. You're going to tell God. This is just only one prayer point we're going to say. We're going to tell God that, God, search my life and show me, open my eyes to see where I need to make amendments so that my life will please you. Tell God that, God, search my life. Search the whole of me. You can't hide from God. Let us pray that, God, search my life. Open my eyes to where I need to make amendments so that my life will please you.